for our employees, it was more like family, love. And as we grow, who knows, like, if it can stay that way. We're hoping it can, but we're still so small that we care about everybody that works for us.
Welcome to Your Wealth and Beyond, where Andrew Rafel, founder of Baintree Wealth Advisors, talks through all things financial understanding, personal growth, and more. Here we inspire you to turn your dreams into actions, because your financial journey should be just as exciting as your destination.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Your Wealth and Beyond. I'm your host, Andrew Rafel, coming to you from the Dream Plan Retire Studio. And today, I've got a special guest in-house, longtime friend, I think of over 10 years,
yep.
Ryan Madrid, the co-founder of Bison Ventures, as well as podcast host of Into the Storm. And today we're going to go through your entrepreneurial journey with starting Bison Ventures, look at how some of the things that with growing up with family,
yeah.
and how that's been in your blood, and how you've really turned in just 2 years, you and your co-founders have turned Bison Ventures into one of the leading mortgage companies here in Phoenix. And we'll talk through on how they've done that through culture, as well as really focusing on the client experience. So it's great to have a podcaster in the house.
Dude, seriously. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the studio, my friend. How are things going?
It's going well. Obviously, you know, it's been a rough run in the mortgage business, so to speak. And we started in March of 2022. And that's kind of, I think in April, the market turned.
Yeah.
So we've seen like rates just skyrocket. Basically skyrocketing like 3-4 months, and we've been kind of holding steady in that like 6-7 range for almost 2 years now. And it's not exactly what we were looking for when we started the company, but we've been able to keep our current company together. You know, we haven't had to let anybody go, and been able to still get business, still get deals, make everybody happy, and maintain, like you said, the flow that we like to say that we do really well.
Yeah.
And as far as our customer service. And you know, that's the biggest thing, is keeping service together. And
so we look to, you know, trials and tribulations of starting any company.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk through of how you started in a tough environment. It's almost like starting a tech company in 2001.
Exactly.
Or a, you know, getting into real estate in 2008, 2009.
Yep.
So I know entrepreneurial has been in your blood. And ultimately, you know, looking back to your family roots, you saw some of that with your dad. And walk us through with your grandpa.
Yeah, I would say it was more like, so my grandfather had a pharmacy called Madrid Pharmacy downtown Phoenix, like literally on Central, him and his brother. And this is before you really had to go to pharmacy school and like actually get a degree, like a doctorate or a PhD in pharmacy. And so, you know, these guys were both from Mexico and came over and just started working at the pharmacy. And then they ended up owning the pharmacy and running the pharmacy. And my dad was, you know, running drugs around, him and his brothers, like delivering all through Phoenix. And they lived in like downtown Phoenix. Yeah. And my dad is funny though. It's like all the boys decided to go into pharmaceutical sales. So they all became pharmaceutical sales reps.
It was what they knew. It was in the blood.
Like, yeah. So like, instead of like going and doing their own thing, they kind of just went and they were like, I want to do something safe. So my dad regretted that for sure. Cause like, I mean, he died pretty young and towards the end of his life, he was only 57. He was telling me basically like, we're having these like in-depth conversations of like, dude, like don't do what I've done, do something different. And cause I had followed in the footsteps. I went straight into pharmaceutical sales out of college. Then I went into medical device sales. But
were you guys working together at all?
Yeah. We worked at Abbott Laboratories together. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, it was really cool. We were in two different divisions. I was cardiovascular and he was in neuroscience. But yeah, it was actually really cool working with him. And he actually retired from there. And even though he didn't start with Abbott, but it like eventually he never changed companies. They just kept getting bought. And then Abbott was the last company that basically bought. So he had his first job right out of college was the job he retired at. So, you know, they don't do that anymore. Yeah. People don't do that anymore. But that company was the last company to have a pension, Abbott Laboratories and Johnson & Johnson. So it's good for those people. But I was just not happy working in corporate America. I hated it. And I was making great money and you have the normal life. But it's like when you have friends doing their own thing and you're looking around, I don't care if it's like it's like a concrete company, a plumbing company, or their real estate company, or they're a tech company. you know, you just see them kind of making their own shots and they're calling their own shots. And I just always envied it, you know. And I remember being in La Jolla one summer and I had to go to Omaha, Nebraska. I was there with my family. I had a flight to Omaha for the next morning. And then I had to fly back that night. And I'm on the beach before I'm leaving with a buddy who has his own business. He's in some flip-flops. This is back when the Blackberries were big. So he's on a Blackberry. He's doing deals. And he like just was like, yeah, I come out here for 2 months a year. And I just rented a place over here in Solano Beach. And I'm like, dude, like, I'm like a pretty high-level person at a big company at this point. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to Omaha tomorrow, leaving my family. This dude's like in flip-flops, yeah, in the sand, in California. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, and you got young kids at the time.
Dude, young kids, yeah, at the time. And
you're like,
so,
Willie Loman, basically, just, yeah, hopping on the flights.
Yes, did all the time.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I'd have to take, sometimes I'd drive to Vegas for the day just to do a case. And I'm like, what am I doing with this? And then, yeah, well, after he passed away, it was really where my uncle and I sat down, and my uncle was like, dude, your dad and I talk about this all the time, would talk about it. Like, Ryan's got so much, like, he's doing exactly what we did. Like, he's got so many friends and they're out doing all this fun stuff. Like, he needs to be doing something different. Yeah. Like, so my uncle's the one who said, you go interview all your friends that are successful, but very happy in what they do, and tell them that you're looking to do something different. And you're just like trying to gather information, but they're not interviewing you. You're interviewing them to know, maybe you will go, hey, maybe I'll go do something, yeah, with you. That was the best advice ever.
That's
so I went
advice.
And did that.
Wow.
And so I went and did it. And the last place I went was VIP Mortgage. And I had known the owners of VIP Mortgage for a long time. We met in a fantasy football league in our 20s. And, you know, and I had a bunch of buddies in the mortgage business. And I was like, okay, this is kind of doing your own thing. Even though it's not your own company, it's doing your own thing. And so I went and met with those guys and we didn't talk about business at all. And this is my last meeting, by the way. And I'd already kind of made a decision to go work with another buddy of mine, I think, you know, but, and we're in there for like an hour and I leave and we didn't talk about like me going to work with them at all. So I get in the car and I call my uncle. I was like, I think I'm gonna go work with Adam and Alan. He goes, oh, that's cool. He's like, what happened with Jay? And I was like, dude, we didn't talk about business at all. He goes, well, that's where you need to go. And I was like, we didn't talk about business at all. Like, never brought it up one second, right? And he's like, well, man, what did you guys talk about? And I told him, I was like, we talked about my dad, talked about my mom, and we talked about just life. And you know, he was having, his mom was struggling. And we just talked about personal things. We just caught up. And he goes, man, he's like, well, your best friends that you went and met with, you guys talked about numbers. You guys talked about like what job roles, like what you talked about, like compensation. And you didn't talk about any of that stuff. You didn't talk about any of the personal stuff. He's like, you need to be around people right now that are more focused on like your personal life. And like, what's going on with you and their care. And it sounds like you guys have a lot in common. It's good right now. Be with somebody that cares. So dude, like later on the day, I got a call from Jay. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. Literally he calls me and goes, he's like, hey dude, he's like, sorry, I had to run out so quickly. So like, dude, we would love for you to come over and work with us. Like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I have no idea. I was like, I didn't know if this would even be an option because, you know, we didn't even talk about anything. He goes, I know. He's like, but obviously we want you to work with us. I mean, you're coming from, yeah, corporate America where you've learned all this business acumen for all these years. We're just a bunch of guys that just barely graduated from high school, right? Some of us went to college, but didn't graduate from college. And we're running this company. Like, we've had no training, so to speak, on how to like run things or how to just handle different things for that you're forced upon in corporate America. He's like, dude, so like, what do you want? Do you want to be the CEO? And I was like, dude, absolutely not. Like, I've never done a loan. I have one on my house. That's it. So I was like, let's just figure it out. But, you know, and it's tough leaving a company that you're making a W-2.
Yeah. You got the young kids,
yep,
making good income.
Yep.
Obviously trials of having to travel, but
yeah,
you've got then benefits.
Dude, I didn't even leave out the part that I was going through a divorce, like literally in the heart of it. So
it's this gut check time.
Oh,
right?
Bro, big like, time. I mean, I lost my mom. I lost my dad. And like a year and a half later, I lost my mom. And then remember, I got in a real bad accident and then I'm going through a divorce and now I'm going to change careers and like all this stuff's like hitting me at once. And not many things were going wrong for me in my life ever, really, up until this point. And then I was just like, bam, 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 just getting hit left and right. And I had a big nut, dude. And, you know, you're making a lot of money and you're buying boats and cars and, you know, houses and shit. So I told him, I was like, I need to be guaranteed money. like this, I have to, in order for me to do this, I need to be guaranteed. And he's like, well, let me know how much you need. And I was like, okay. And I told him, and it was a lot, dude. Like, it was a lot for people that are just 1099 for somebody to come in from outside the business.
Right. No experience.
No experience at all. And I told him the number. It was like, I can't remember if it was either $12,000 a month or $15,000 a month. Like, I need that guarantee. That's just enough to pay my bills, right? And he was obviously like, okay, we don't really do this normally, but we'll do it because we're going to count on the fact that you're going to obviously do something. Dude, it wasn't very easy. That's for sure. Getting started. But eventually, you know, I just like found my niche when I started bringing people from other companies over. And that was really what I found is like, okay, it wasn't necessarily the loan side of everything. It's like the relationship side of everything. It's like for me. Like, I just was like making partnerships with all these, like with North & Co. and with the brokery and my home group. And like, nobody in our company had any relationships with any of those brokers. So now all of a sudden, now we're preferred lenders in these big brokerages. And then people are seeing that. So then I'm getting recruited all the time, but I'm like, I'm not going to go anywhere. So I would like reverse recruit everybody. And then the money started coming in. We started bringing in, I mean, we were doing like $1 billion of business just in business that I was bringing in. At one point, I was doing almost 50% of the business for the entire company. It's just from, not me personally, but like right. I had brought in either our branch, me and Stu, or just like Austin Bates and the guys in Gilbert. And, you know, we all brought in a big branch list last year over to VIP because we couldn't handle them on our side. They were too big. They were bigger than us, is our company.
So for the listeners who don't know the mortgage industry, when you say $1 billion,
yeah,
what does that mean? I mean, that's a big number to me.
Yeah, that just means $1 billion in loans, you know, so it doesn't mean like billion, sort right. of a million dollar house.
You're at a high, like from the caliber that's of like,
massive.
You're like the top 5% of.
Yeah, top 1%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you jump in, you're getting this, a little bit of pressure on you in the beginning. And I've seen it in action, just the way you can connect with people, right? Deepening relationships. You're always, it's never a bad time with Ryan.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe.
Well, we're pretty good together.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So that's where you met Stu, your current founder.
Yep.
You met at VIP.
Yep. So this is a good part too. So Stuart was the number one guy at VIP, and he was at a point where he was just burnt out. And I was trying to like build everything on my own, do my own thing. And I'd go get these relationships. And when you're doing mortgage and you're like a solo LO, you got to go get the business and you have to bring it in. And then you got to take the loan application and then you have to calculate the income and you have to structure the loan and find the deals. When you're new, you have to learn all this stuff and it's super hard. So you have to lean on people to do so. And I would just always go into his office. I'm like, dude, like, you know, this is like what's going on here. And then I was bringing in people maybe to partner with, I thought would be a good idea. And it just wasn't working out. And then finally one day he was at a point where he was like thinking, all right, maybe I'm just going to go take a year off and go do something else. Cause he's like, if I have to take another loan application, I'm like going to kill myself. And he'd been doing it since he was 22. So he was burnt. And this is 2015. And so we went to lunch. Where's Houston's at? Is that right over there? That's a McDonald's. So like in that Houston's, there's the other restaurant that's right there. But anyways, irrelevant. Good restaurant, great turkey burger. And he's like, here's the deal. You can sit next to me in my office and you can learn everything that I've known. You can listen to all my calls and I can teach you everything I know. Or we can just partner up. You go kill the pig and I'm going to make the bacon, right? And we'll split everything. I was like, let's do that. I'm going to do that. And that's literally how it went. Like, I was like, dude, done. Like, let's say, I don't want to do any of that work.
Yeah.
We're just going to build a company now. So Brianna was already working with us. She's our senior loan officer, but she's basically our partner. And she was taking over for more of the applications and doing a lot of the stuff that Stu was trying to get away from. Cause we needed to figure out how can we create the business for like the client experience, right? The client relation coordinator who schedules the appointments. So we're not playing phone tag back and forth with clients. And then you need production partners, you need production managers, you need processors and underwriters, all this stuff. And as our volume started increasing, you know, we needed more people. And it wasn't necessarily more about bringing other LOs into our business. It was like operations behind the scenes people. And that's the only way you can really make it. You spend more money, you know, doing it. And you've seen it obviously with your clients that you sent over to us, but we take a lot of pride in like our system. it's dialed in. Like you get a phone call, you have 10 minutes after you've gotten the phone call to reach out to the person, make an appointment. And then after that, you have a certain, it's a cadence, right? You have a certain amount of time before the follow-up email goes out. And then who's it going to? And then when it comes back in, there's just all this stuff. At one point, it was a 52-point system. Now it's ridiculous.
But this was at the VIP.
This is at you VIP. Were saying,
so you're basically at VIP, you're using them as an umbrella. And you are running, in a sense, you're running your own company within.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Our own team, but essentially you're an independent contractor that just has a place that's like, you know, there's your like, it's kind of like your broker dealer, right?
Yeah.
It's like that. They're our bank. So we became partners. I mean, we killed it for many years. But Stu and I had been talking for a long time about doing our own thing. And for me, it was like, we were talking about all kinds of things. Like, what can we go do in other businesses? It goes back to even before. It's like, all right, you know, we're hitting singles and doubles. And then we see like our other buddies that are hitting like home runs with these like $1 million checks. You know, it's like you're not making a ton of money on a loan. And it's a lot of work. And especially on the LO side, you're making good money. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you have to do a lot of volume to make really good money. And, you know, we were like, all right, what are we going to do like later in life? Like, what's our legacy going to be? And are we going to stay in the mortgage business? At this point, like him and I are ride or die. Like whatever we do in life, we're doing it together. Like, it's like, we're like a married couple, basically. So we had been talking about it, and Stuart's, so our other partner's Jeremy West, and that's Stuart's best friend from childhood. And Jeremy was a banker up at Chase Bank in San Francisco. And his trajectory was very rapid moving. I didn't know him really that well before we got into this. So I was like, okay, we're bringing in a third partner. This is kind of like business we built. And then like, dude, we couldn't have done any of this stuff without him. He's the smartest dude I've ever met in my life. And like, he just knows how to do it. And it goes back to even to like the business acumen of running at like Chase Bank for 18 years or whatever he's there for. I mean, it's the simple things like running meetings, even, right? Just like running your P&Ls. I mean, he's got the mind of like a CFO, but also of like a COO. That's why he's both for us. but the day-to-day stuff, just like making sure things get done this from
you
the bank.
You just didn't want it.
I just don't even know how. Like neither of us even know how to do that stuff. And he just did. So, but they had a situation where they were kind of having a sidebar conversation as well about like, Jeremy was like, gosh, do I want to stay at Chase Bank for the rest of my life? And they were just had a conversation one week on when Stuart was in an RV driving through Utah and Jeremy was in Park City and he threw it out there and then he didn't really think Jeremy was going to bite. And then like, as he's driving the next day, Jeremy calls and says, hey, I'm really thinking about doing this. And Stuart's like, oh, okay. So then they kind of had to do some investigating of us actually like leaving VIP, how that would work. And I think that it was a tough time in the mortgage business because everybody was moving companies and you had cross country coming into the market and they were just killing it. Fairway was writing big checks, a bunch of people. And we were highly sought after because we were like top five in Arizona. We were walking away from millions of dollars. Like literally these people were getting $1.5 million, $2 million, $3 million to go other places. And we're like, well, you know, it's like we were all making great money. So it's like, it didn't really matter because the market was fine. And our loyalty to VIP and to Jay and Keith was really always there. Cause that was always our really hard thing. It's like, what are we going to do? We got to leave. It's like, you can almost be loyal to a fault sometimes. And I still struggle with this big time. You know, I remember the moments like when I didn't have any money and I was struggling and Jay loaned me like 30 grand. And that was 8 years ago. And I've done billions of dollars for this company probably at this point. And I still have that 30 grand in my mind going like, dude, like he gave me this money to like help me pay for my kids' private school one day because I didn't have enough money for it. And like, I can't let that go. Other people say I should, and you know, it should be fine, but there's just things about staying loyal, but then you got to think about your family and your kids and that sort of stuff and your priorities. I got four kids in college. So we did some investigating and trying to figure out a way that we could do it with Jay and Keith, us be our own separate entity, but have them partner with us. And that's how it ultimately ended up happening. So Bison Ventures was formed with me, Jeremy and Stuart and Jay and Keith. So those are the two principal owners of VIP. We have our own warehouse lines. It's our own money. We all put in our own cash and we use VIP for shared services. So we pay VIP for HR, IT, secondary, like shipping, just like all the back end stuff that you would have to do in a loan. And then as you scale, you will be bringing things in.
Yeah.
Because there's a profit center in every single element that, you know, it costs us a lot of money to send all our stuff over to VIP when we can just keep it in house. But right now we're not doing enough business for it to make sense to do that. But it was like the best of both worlds. We got to stay within our family. We're still under the VIP umbrella in our minds.
But we have our own company. You look at it as like, I mean, I look at it as Bison Ventures.
Yeah.
Is yours. You know, you don't even, the common person doesn't know.
No, they don't know.
That type of intricacies of that.
No. And it's a very unique structure too, because we've talked to multiple different people about our structure and how we've done it. And they've like, it's like nobody's ever done it this way in that fashion. Like a JV, a true JV, it's not normal in our business. It's mostly DBA type stuff, or you're just your own entity. But we have our own covenants, we have our own money, we have our own warehouse lines, and that's just different.
So, you know, within 7-8 years, you've had two major turning points. You decided leave corporate world 2012, yep. 2013.
Yep.
Then you find Stuart. You guys know you're mm-hmm. destined to work together, whether it stays in that industry, whether you guys venture out into something else.
Yep.
And then this is in 2020, you have to also make that decision. Loyalty versus free agency. Do we just go and just follow that big check? Maybe it works. Maybe not, but ultimately we're back in the same boat that we were in.
Yeah.
And so by being able to partner with them, tie it all in together, win-win, but also you didn't know really the coming storm of the interest rate environment.
Yeah, no.
Ignorance is bliss sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, we've definitely, I mean, just complete honesty on this. It's been rough, dude. Like as far as us not picking, you have to make sacrifices when things are like the way they were. We didn't want to let people go. We got a family that works for us. People that have been with us forever, mother, daughter, my sister, and I mean, just friends. And it's like, so we've chosen not to take paychecks for many months to make sure that everybody's okay, because, the economic indicators are always like, okay, things are about to change. We're about to change.
Yeah.
Shit's about to go better. Sorry. And it just doesn't happen. And it's trending obviously in the right direction. And people are also starting to get used to the higher rates. And, as we grow and people come to work with us, we bring LOs. And really that's like the growth part for us. It's trying to help other people grow their businesses now underneath our umbrella. But during these times, it's like it's hard to recruit people over there doing any business because nobody's doing really that much business. I mean, people that were doing massive business are doing very little. Yeah, I mean, people doing hundreds of millions of dollars might do like 40 million this
year. Right. And most people have never dealt with that before. Most of the people in the mortgage industry, they saw, for 7, 8, 9 years, that golden age.
Yeah.
Interest rates kept going down. One positive is that Arizona, Phoenix is still a growth area. So we do have that on our side. And then, as you said, as people get used to this new norm, well, these are where rates are going to be. And then the potential of, hey, we'll refinance if rates do go down.
Yeah.
But as you guys left, and not really left, but
we left.
Yeah, you left and you built this. Where did you guys, when you looked at this culture that you've built, the systems that you were honing all those years at VIP, one thing, in 2 years, you guys go from startup to the top places to work in your sector, the top place for Phoenix Business Journal. Mm-hmm. So that says a lot on what you, the three of you guys have built from the ground up.
Yeah, I mean, that was a cool day, honestly, because like it was shocking to us. We feel like we do a really good job of making sure everybody's happy. And between the three of us, you're going to have good days and bad days. But three of us, it kind of works out in the fashion that, one of us is always going to be on. But you learn a lot of things in previous places you work. And VIP was always wins best place to work too, right? They've won it for years and for like big companies. But there was a lot of things that we thought we could do different, that more our style. And for our employees, it was more like family. Love. And as we grow, who knows, like if it can stay that way, we're hoping it can, but we're still so small that we care about everybody that works for us. It's hard to have people that trust you and they're ride or die for you. And they were used to making a certain amount of money too. I mean, if you're doing a ton of units, your production manager, your client coordinator, the processors, they're making good money because they're getting paid per deal as well. Well, now you're only doing like 15 deals, right? And now they're going, well, hell, they're in this boat too. And we're going, okay, how do we make it so they're not dying as well? Because I mean, it's been like 50% of the people in this business has left the business. So beyond anything, I think even Stuart and Jeremy would say the same thing. It's like the fact that we won that, which we don't know how really, is amazing to us because I feel like, all right, all these sacrifices we're making and everything we're doing something right. And it's just good, I think, for just the community to see it too. When we go to recruit people or we go to talk to other people, it's a big deal for us because right now, other LOs, they're struggling, man. People are like depression. I mean, talk about like mental health. Like it's a whole problem right now in the real estate community in general.
Right. Not just LO. Real estate agents,
brokerage houses. Everybody's kind of, except for like the top dogs and they don't really care about mortgages that are selling, you know, $10 million house for cash. You know, that's fine. But like normal, like the average person that was a very good real estate agent, they had to use loans to get their deals, right? Most of those people came through, got, you know, they put 10% down or 5% down and then they got a mortgage. Well, with rates going up and prices going up, people can't afford houses anymore. So it's like, I mean, it was like one out of every five was going through because they're like, all right, the affordability is just not there. So everybody's stressing out. And so again, just back to just the fact that like, we know all the mental health side of everything, that people are just sad and depressed. And the fact that we still were voted best place to work was really cool.
So what are some, if I'm an entrepreneur listening, trying to either start a business or get my culture to where you guys have, beyond just keeping their heads together and keeping everybody staying as positive as possible, what are some of those things that you guys built inside the culture to build that family unity and to do things beyond the monetary that obviously we know isn't right there right now?
Yeah.
But what are some of those things that led you to where you are right now with best places to work?
I mean, I think authenticity has been really big with us. We're all three kind of emotional guys. And I think that like our whole staff has sometimes seen us cry, you know, like there's been times where we're like, dude, they know that we care, right? They know that like everything we're doing is for them and for us, right? And we want them in the office as much as possible, right? But it's not that easy right now, especially we ever got used to not being around. So we do as much as we can together as a team, make everybody come in on Tuesday. And at that time, it's like you feel the energy when everybody's around. It's so much better because everybody loves each other. Like they all get along too, which just makes everything really great for us because we're not dealing with too much drama. Right. But you know, if we got one lives in Santan, we got two that live out in way West Surprise, people living out on like Lake Pleasant Road. Like we just happened to hire people that, because a lot of people we knew from the past and I lived out there. So they have big drives. It's really hard to make people come in. And so like we just did a clay shooting event with the whole, brought everybody out to Ben Avery and did, you know, teams and did a clay shooting deal. Just little things, like we have our monthly meetings and those meetings, it's all about like learning about each other. There's a really cool company called Anthem and you would love this, dude, because you're a big music guy.
I had him on the podcast. Brian
Moore.
Oh,
yeah. I forgot.
We haven't done it yet with our crew here, but dude, did you guys do it?
Yeah, we did it. Dude, I mean,
shout out to Anthem. What's up, Brian? Our guys are all music people.
Yeah. Well, we're bringing in. So they have like movies, they have TV shows. So for those people that don't know what this is. So basically you pick five songs that mean something to you in your life. And it could be like your wedding song. It could be your graduation song. It could be just like a moment that you had in time. And you basically go into Anthem, their software, and you pick your song and then you would write the story. And we went through every single person and it was one of the most like intense, like knocking down walls, like people that I was like, that are pretty just like
reserved and
were like bawling. Right. And because you're telling these like really intricate, like personal stories. And some people I think had a problem, struggled with like going too personal. And then it just started flowing. And then it was a really incredible deal. So that's one of the things we did. We're going to do the movies next. And we've been talking about it because once you're in their system, you can do all that stuff.
And then you don't need them actually being in there to facilitate.
But Brian did it for us.
Yeah.
And that was the only time I think he'd ever done that. Like he wants to do it all over like, you know, Zoom and stuff. Yeah. But he came to us and he did it. And it was like, and he was like, geez, man, this was pretty incredible. So just doing stuff like that. And Liz Clevin, who works for us, she's basically in charge of corporate culture for us for the meetings and just, you know, events and that sort of stuff. And she does a really good job with just making sure that every time we're together, that we are learning more about each other's personal sides. And we make a point to have meetings with all our people as often as possible, checking in on them from the personal and professional side of things. And, you know, we have a few people that we're assigned to, and, you know, and you build a strong relationship with those people too. It's like, you know, I have one of my daughter's friends works for us, and she's our client relation coordinator. So she's like my other daughter, basically. And, you know, I just had a conversation with her the other day, trying to figure out what she wants to do. Like, what's your next step? Like, do you want to keep doing this? She's engaged to get married now. Like, you know, you want to buy a house, obviously, and you're going to need to make more money. Like, what do you want to do? And she's just like, you know, check in with me in like 6 months. Cause I, right now I really like what I'm doing right now. Yeah. It's comfortable for me. And then you have some other people. They're like, yeah, I'm ready to like start talking about, maybe I think I want to get my license. I think I want to be an LO. Okay. Right. So, or I want to do both. I want to have the ability to get paid if I can bring deals in. And so I just think of us always just trying to stay in front of everything.
Yeah. Those one-on-ones are so crucial.
Yeah.
You know, you can't hide or fake empathy.
Right.
And obviously the three of you have that, and having the ability to spend that time and like letting them know that you care and not faking it.
Yeah.
That helps you guys weather the storm to get through the next 3 years, 5 years. No, that's tremendous.
You know, and time flies too. So sometimes we don't, it's not perfect. Like, oh my gosh, we're like, oh, she's just been 5 months, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost April. It's like all of a sudden we're through the first quarter of this year. And, you know, so keeping each other accountable, we've now, like we do our weekly just leadership meetings, just me, Stu, and Jeremy, and sit down and we have our lanes. And one of the things we didn't do very well at the beginning, to be honest with you, is stay in our own lanes. We were all in each other's way doing things, and we'd all go to the meetings together, and we'd have, if we have like, we're recruiting somebody, we'd all go really. And it really was, should be a tag team sort of deal, but we all don't need to be at everything. You know, we don't need to be at every meeting. We don't need to be at every production meeting. We don't need to be at every marketing meeting. So we've picked our lanes, who's got what lane, and we're going to stay in those lanes. And we hold each other accountable on Mondays. So we sit down and we're like, did you do what you said you were going to do? Okay, do you need help with this? You know, it's tough, dude. Like, this is technically yours, right? Like, you're the CEO president. I personally, after doing this, I can't imagine doing it alone.
Yeah.
The pressure is tremendous. And the amount of things to do along with your own business as well, dude, it is so hard. And so we have like a three-headed monster, and it works for us. Those guys could probably do it without me, but I couldn't do it without
I don't think so. You know, the connector, the business development being out there. Fortunately for me, starting this firm in 2015, over the last 8 years, I've got a great team, great leadership team. So we're all in it together, which has helped me focus on a lot of the things that I want to do and that I'm good at, and knowing, hey, I'm not good at this.
Yeah. Right.
You do that and you take the accountability for it. But having two partners, especially Stu working with them since 2013, that's huge.
Yeah.
Because you've got that peace of mind. Or if you're traveling for 2 weeks, you know things are going to get done, and there's a trust factor.
Totally.
No one's going to stab each other in the back. And then that flows down to the culture that you built. And that's what people want to be part of. And, you know, we know industries ebb and flow. We keep grinding.
Yeah.
You keep doing what you're doing. Now, marketing wise, so I always like to hear stories of where did Bison come from?
Yeah.
Were you guys just...
So this is kind of why we named it Bison Ventures, honestly, just to answer these questions, because it's like the ambiguity of like, wait, you're a mortgage company. Why is it called Bison Ventures and why Bison? When you're thinking about coming up with a name, especially in like the financial world, it's always capital, it's financial.
Right. Or mortgages.
And we just knew that we didn't want to just to do it that way. And we did hire a company, Root and River, which is a great name, by the way. And she helped us kind of go through our whole process of from the core values, the mission statement, vision, all that stuff, and even the name. So we knew it wasn't going to be like Madrid, Crawford, West, right?
Yeah,
like,
smart, you know,
And we did bring up Baintree, right? That was a cool thing too, because that story's cool. How you came up with that name. So I had brought that up. I was like, you know, think about something, because we all have something in our lives that maybe means something to you or sounds good that we can bring into our business, and it could be named that with no one really know what it means, right? I mean, wasn't it just like a street or something?
Yeah, built a brand out of nothing.
Right, and it's this cool name. And so for us, Stuart had heard the story of the bison. So American bison is, so it is the American animal, not the bald eagle. It's the American animal. And it's the only animal that gathers as a herd and runs into the storm. Every other animal runs away from the storm. And the mortgage business, it can be a storm, especially right now. It's been a storm. I can't even tell you how many conferences and like marketing plans for the next year for in the real estate business right now is called Into the Storm. Like it's right now is what it is everywhere you go. And like we were a little bit ahead of our time, I think, with that, not knowing that it was going to crash. But yeah, so we named it. So we're like, all right, this is a cool story. It's a cool analogy to the business, right? And so he was actually on that same trip that he was talking to Jeremy. They were in Yellowstone and he was driving an RV. They were going like all up, they were going up to Montana and everything. And there was a whole herd of bison running next to him. And his wife looked at him and she's like, it's bison. Cause we were still trying to figure out what it was. Yeah. She's like, it's bison. He goes, yeah, it's bison. And then he sent us a video and it's like, we're going to be, we're like, Jeremy and I were like, cause I wasn't like quite there. And I was like, it's bison. Yeah. It's bison. It's going to be. And then the more you dig into it, like everybody, even when like when the Native Americans would hunt the bison, when they dismantled the bison, everybody in the family and in the tribe had a different role in the just like and how they worked with it. Was like whether it was the fur, you know, the kids did the hooves, you know, it was like so it was kind of like you could put that into your business as well. Everybody's got a different job in the structure in our model. So that was another cool thing. And it just so happens one of the guys that was helping us with the branding was from Idaho. So he knew everything there was about the bison, which is awesome. And then ventures came from, it's not necessarily a financial term. It's really just abbreviated version of adventure. So it's like, all right, we're going on this adventure right now, but it sounds like it's a financial term.
It's got a good flow. That's how I thought of it as ventures is that end.
Yeah.
But that's cool that it's at the adventure side of it.
Yeah. So, but we use it as the financial side of things. But it's also because we didn't want to just be a mortgage company because we don't know what, like this could be just the start of something. And, you know, Bison Ventures could be the, like
the holding the baseline. Company.
And then, the holding company is going to have other companies underneath it. And, but at the beginning, we definitely second-guessed ourselves a few times because we were talking about it over and over and over again. And we did get like some negative feedback from some people. We're like, well, I don't know if like that doesn't really make sense. And then as time went on, the logo turned out incredible. And then like everything kind of turned into positive feedback. And then we started learning to tell the story and we started learning that it's actually fun to tell the story. And it is better that we're just not Bison Mortgage out there. Not that that would be a bad name either, or Bison Financial or Bison Capital, right? But it is, especially when the people are like, why would you do that? And then I tell them a story, they're like, oh, it's actually pretty cool, you know? So we're
and then
really
you
happy.
Got your herd, so your team is part of the herd.
Everything's called the herd, we call it everything.
And the podcast that you started a few years ago, you switched the name once you started Bison to Into the Storm.
Yep.
I love that, you know, history of the story. And I love the logo, you know, that strong foundation. And I've got an affinity because we grew up in Cleveland, Beechwood Bison. I don't know why we're the Bison. Yeah. I got to figure that out. But it touches me every time I see it. And it's just strong and the stability. Yeah. And it's just
it's nice cool to have all you Cleveland guys that really like the name and the logo.
We went out to the Bison. Cleveland Mafia there. So for you, podcasting, you're great at it. Obviously, there's, you know, when people ask, what's the return on investment? You can't quantify that,
right?
Can't
quantify it. Thank you for saying that, dude. I have to say that all the time.
So with podcasting, that's working back to family, you know, being able to work with your sister, Trisha, on building that and having, you know, almost 100 episodes to date. And you've got things dialed in and you're great at it. But what was your passion for that? Was it just to utilize and get your thirst for knowledge and bringing in some great people?
I think that like it's shifted a few times. It was Real Talk with Ryan at the beginning and kind of stumbled my way around trying to figure out what I really wanted to talk about. And if it was going to be fully real estate, anybody who maybe was maybe just referral partners. And then it went to, I really just wanted to have cool people that do cool things that are like entrepreneurs in the Valley. Or they could be outside the Valley, but most of the time it's, and we just happen to have a ton of friends that do cool stuff, right? And I could schedule out for 2 years on that. And I think we found our niche. And Trisha kind of like revitalized it for me. She was like, all right, we're really going to do this. I really want to get behind this. And then my nephew, Trey, who's our, He's our engineer for it. He went to film school to do like movies and stuff in Toronto. Toronto Film School, like a real good school, and then graduated during COVID. Didn't really have a gig. So we're like, I know this isn't your dream.
Yeah, now he's editing Ryan.
You know, you're going to be editing videos.
Although you do look good. I mean, it's silly. You haven't aged at all. This guy looks, doesn't he look good, people?
50.
Yeah, 50.
But so yeah, dude, for me, I really like doing it because I get to have my friends on, have conversations. And I don't know where you guys are at with like the clips and all that sort of stuff and shorts, but you know, our episodes go long. I mean, they'll go hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. And we were getting like 50, 70 views. You know, I don't really know. And of course, it's all on all podcast platforms. But once we started realizing that like people were not necessarily stop looking at like the whole episode and picking out five clips out of every episode, it changed dramatically. Like, oh my God, like we have some that have over a million views, hundreds of thousands of views for like a 30-second clip or 60-second clip on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. And then we hired a social media manager to kind of manage that stuff for us. Trey's capable of pulling out the clips for us. And I pay him to do that. I pay him literally per clip. I don't want to say it out here because it's probably cheap, but, and I pay him to do the engineering side, kind of like Lexi's doing for you right now. And, but it's mostly post-production work that he's doing. And we try to, my sister's super anal with everything, like all the marketing stuff. It has to be perfect. And she does do a very good job with that. And so I leave it to them to make sure it looks great, but it always does anyways. I don't really care as much as they do.
Yeah. You just show up, you do your thing.
Yeah.
And then, and I think too, with the attention spans people have, yes, some people are going to listen to the whole thing, but you even look like a Tim Ferriss who's sometimes 3 hours, 2 hours.
Oh,
and then he gets those clips, those minute and a half. And that is what people want to see. And then it comes down to that they get to see Ryan again. And it's just that persuading and that credibility. And again, it necessarily from our side too, it's like, did the podcast bring any business? Well, did they find us online? And then they found a podcast and then they found a YouTube video.
Yep.
And then they followed us on Instagram and they started getting to know.
Yeah. Have you had people come up to you and tell you that like, oh, how's the podcast going? And right. And then you're like, oh, you listen to my podcast?
Yeah. We just, CPA.
Even your friends recently, that are like, you don't think that they do, but they do.
Yeah. And they get, with podcasting, the world is, they get to know you, you know, and they're listening to you in the gym or in the sauna or on a run.
Yeah.
And as you get better at it too, being able to pepper the questions and trying to find those right guests.
Yeah.
And then they're all going to be the people that just watch that short clip.
Yeah.
Then that's okay. You know, totally. So it's all marketing, any funnel, unless you're, for us, buying a lead, you know, there's sometimes lead, you know, then we can quantify that.
Yep.
But all the other things we do and you guys do with the social and the digital and getting things out there, or even just you do a lot of the education stuff or tying in with the broker house, you know, those type of things, just, it's a long play.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's like, I think like we did today, I may have told that story, but I don't think I have like the long version of like basically how I mean, like the parent stuff. I don't think I've done that yet. And I've been meaning to, people wanted to do it on my own podcast, but I don't think I have. But so like that, most of the conversations I have are personal. Like very rarely do we get into too deep into like, hey, what are the rates at today? Or what are you doing to market your company?
People don't want that.
They don't want that stuff. So that's why it's hard sometimes because you find people that, you know, the most successful people doesn't mean that they're the most interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some agents on that are very low producing agents, but like I know about them. Or they were when I had them on and now they are doing very well.
It's like because of the podcast.
Yeah, it's definitely not because of the podcast, but definitely, you know, there's some things that probably for sure got some recognition out there. People heard the story. It probably didn't hurt, right? There's a few that I remember that we just did maybe a 60-second clip of a woman talking about how when she found out her daughter had cancer. Like, and she kind of just broke down like we all did actually. And I mean, that thing just was crazy on Instagram. And she was really good about being active with all the comments and stuff too, like herself. And that's another, you know, value add, I think, that for the people that we have on the podcast, they use those, like when we put them out, they just share them.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like marketing for them as well on accident, really. Right. And I think they all really appreciate the opportunity as well.
Right. And then it comes full circle back to you because they're getting out to their network. And then all of a sudden you and Bison is getting promoted. And I've seen how you've added in a little bit of not a commercial, but you've added in over the years. Here's what we do.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not just Ryan. bringing on awesome people and talking through on their life and their trials and tribulations. Now it's like, okay, well, we're going to let you know.
Yeah. Sometimes that that's another thing. It's like not perfect for sure. And there's been months where I'm like, oh my gosh, we've got to, like, I forgot. We have to tell everybody that we're a mortgage company.
Right.
Right. Oh yeah. By the way, we do all this cool stuff and then the podcast, but really the way to pay for this is we own a mortgage company.
Yeah.
We like to do business with you. Yeah. So please, you know, help us.
Because too, I mean, even though you went through the story of the name, people may think you're like a venture capitalist company. You know, oh, we're just, we're investing in businesses, right? Which again, may be something you do in the future,
right?
But making sure the people know. And then once they, you know, we've seen it too with referrals that we've sent, just the way you guys do things is different than what we've experienced with other partner referrals where we send it out and we're just like, okay, I hope they did a good job. And then we don't hear anything.
Right.
And so building that up and probably taking from your experience and foundational VIP and being able to do it there, we appreciate that. And then that in itself is marketing because then I'll go tell somebody,
right,
but I'll make sure my advisors are like, okay, we're sending it here because look what they did. And even if you didn't get the deal, you guys spent ample time working with that client, weighing out the pros and the cons. And we know, okay, we didn't get that one. We'll send you more business, but that
makes you look good as well too, because you're referring high profile people to somebody that could or could not make you look bad. And they're like, okay, well, I'm running with some good people that are equal to my stature as far as like how we do business.
100%.
And then, so I get that as well. Cause you know, sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. Nothing's worse than giving out a referral and then coming back and then someone going, shits on what the heck is going on?
Yeah. From our end, like CPAs is kind of the golden goose that most advisors can't get into because most CPAs look at financial advisory firms as just, hey, they're salespeople. They don't know. And they're just going to put them in something and then move on.
Yeah.
We've built and educated the CPAs that, hey, we do good work. We're not just on the investment side. It's looking at the whole picture. It's helping on tax strategies. So getting a referral from that end, having that trust that they've given us, that is something that's even a better referral than when a client refers a family member or neighbor or associate. And that's something, but it's taken us, it takes a long time to build that. And you guys have shown that, at least with us, that you take the time, the initiative, you've got pretty cool technology and you do what you say you're going to do. And that's an important feature there in regards to, you know,
I mean, all you have is your reputation at the end of the day, man, and it can go away real quick.
Yep.
Screw up a couple of times and people tell their friends and it's
the, you know, of hard work and one thing.
Yeah, you're out. It's important for sure.
So as we, I know we've talked a lot today, you guys have, I think it comes down to finding for an entrepreneur out there that's thinking about starting something. It's like, if you do it on your own, but if you can have a trusted partner like that, that relationship, that partnership that you and Stu had, that's something that's special. And then bringing in Jeremy and knowing you guys each have your different value lanes, add that you bring and staying in that lane. And then focusing on, for you, you've taken risks. You left corporate world. You'd still be probably plugging away somewhere in there and, you know, making good income, but hating life. And, you know,
totally.
So we all have in life these certain turning points, these fork in the roads. And fortunately for you, you had family that was able to help at least lead you to the right direction. And then you opened up and you found the right people. Then it comes out of the network. So the right people led you through. And now you're dealing with starting a company and just putting your head down. And there's no alternative except success.
It's a humbling experience for sure. I'll give you one little quick story here too, is going on right now with me. And because I've learned a lot in like the last month. So I had two houses going for sale myself. So when I was living in, and we've been building another house in North Central for like 3 years now. Well, our kids are now gone. So there's no reason for us to have this house in North Central anymore. So the timing was we were going to sell that house and then we were going to sell this house that we live in and then, you know, decide where we want to move into, you know, your neighborhood. And well, the house that we lived in sold first. Okay. So then we've got this other house. It's under contract right now.
Congrats. Beautiful house.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, yeah, it turned out incredible. Thank gosh that it sold under 4 weeks, but the other house sold in one day, right?
Wow.
Yeah. North sold it for me and never,
sounds like it was
never
even
had to go there. That was, well, it was just a good neighborhood, man. And, you know, the CSMC is up there and it's just like everything was just flying. So we don't have anywhere to live, right? So I live with Lana's parents right now.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, we can go get an Airbnb, but we've got like all our stuff like in storage. And like we brought a bunch of stuff over to their house And they're super cool and very easy to be around. So it makes it cool, but it's not where I expected it to be.
Right. As an empty nester. And now you're back into being the kid again.
Dude, I'm like literally on a cot.
Hey, you got home at 1 o'clock this morning, Ryan. What were you doing?
I'm pretty sure they don't care. But, you know, we got our dogs and it was this whole thing. It was like, all right, so we just go move into another place and like wait until this thing, or do we just like figure out, well, now we're there and we're like, dude, when this thing's closed, it's like, it's almost summer. So we just stay here for like a little while and then just get out of town for a couple months, go get some Airbnbs in some different cities and just travel a little bit and then decide, okay, where do we really want to end up? And then you have to go through the process of like, what do you really need? And this is where we're having a tough time, right? Because we have 4 kids. So it's like, we still want them to come home. Everybody's like, all right, you're an empty nester. But are we really? Because they come home all the time.
Right. And you want them to have somewhere to be. You can't just, it's like great to have a turnkey place where you can lock and leave 2-bedroom and you don't have to think about it. But then you also think of those memories that you have with the kids and they all get along and they enjoy each other.
It's a struggle because from a financial standpoint, and you can give me some free advice right here, but it's like really like, do you buy the big house that has all the bedrooms? I mean, Aiden lives in LA now, so that's, like us is he lives there, you know, he's out of school. So it's the other 3, right? The 1 in Dallas and then 2 here in Tempe. And it's like, when they come home, their Christmas breaks are like a month, dude.
Yeah, I don't get it.
5 weeks. It's unbelievable.
Like, right. Dude, like, I feel like it wasn't like that when we were in college.
It wasn't like that. It's crazy. And even their like summertime, it was like, and which is cool. They wanted to be at our house, but like they have apartments in Tempe. Yeah. But yet they're in our house every day with all their friends.
To you and Lance, you know, that they enjoy your company.
Right. Yeah. So it's like going back to you, buy the house that has like the dining room for the one day a year that people come over for Thanksgiving, or do you buy the place that's kind of turnkey for makes it easy? And then when the kids are back, I'm like, dude, we'll get an Airbnb. It'd be like this badass and everybody can go there and we can hang out there. From a financial standpoint, it's way cheaper to do that than it is to go and spend $2 million on a house. Or more,
right?
Because you need a 4-bedroom, 4-bath or 5-bedroom, 4-bath for the 4 weeks a year that the kids are there. I mean, this is where we're going right now. Like we're struggling with this because I mean, the difference in price is astronomical.
Yeah. And obviously the mortgages now versus 4 years ago, it's ridiculous. You know,
you're paying $13,000.
Mortgage payments. And then it's like, are we at a high point in the real estate market? You know, it seems like things are pretty we're in an even keel here where things aren't going up, but they're not in certain areas that you want to live in. They ain't going down.
No, they're not going down.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, you have a conversation with yourself and go, okay, well, you know, 4 years ago when that house was $950,000, you're like, there's no way in hell this is going to be more than $950,000 on 19th Avenue and Jomax, right? Taylor Morrison house on an 8,000 square foot lot, 2-story, 3,200 square foot yellow house. It's selling for $1 million. Like, how in the heck is that even possible? And then, you know, the house is in Arcadia proper, McCormick Ranch. Like, I mean, it's like Kotler's house. It's like, dude, kidding me? I mean, that house is worth like $2 million now.
Is it really?
Yeah. Wow. It's like, I mean, close to it, right? In that neighborhood is so, but like how much more is it going to go up? I don't know because it just keeps going up. But I do know in other areas of town, you know, it's not going up like 20% every year like it has been. It might be going up 5%, 6%, 7%, but you can also have that money and take the money that you would spend on the down payment and get something less and take the other money and put it with somebody like yourself and get a bigger return.
Yeah. And thank you on that. we'll do a meeting right after this. Yeah. Map it all out for you. You know, but somewhere maybe central where, and again, do you need the 4,000 square foot house, 2,000 square foot house? And I like the fact that you said the Airbnb, even though they won't feel like they have their room that's theirs, but what are they there? 2.5 months potentially at the most.
Yeah.
In and out.
At different times, right? But mind you, they have their own places too. Yeah. It's like, but it is, I mean, for somebody, I mean, we care about our family immensely. Like our kids are everything to us. And like, so, and we love the fact that they like to do stuff with us. And they've gotten to this age now where they're older, where like we can go to the open with them now and we can go to dinner, you know, and my son can have a beer, you know, it's like, it's cool. So like they're adults and they're getting there to the point where like most people don't, like I loved my mom and dad, but like I came home for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And then I was out back with my friends back in my places that I lived. I was not hanging out around, but things are just different nowadays. So I do love the fact that they like to do that. But from a financial standpoint, we got to think about ourselves as well. Where are we going to be 50 years old now? It's like, I would rather be putting money into different places, other businesses, their opportunities, investment opportunities. And I think right now is a good time. And I think as the market turns, I always have to remind myself, right, that my income is going to be, it's still going to be good. And it's going to be increasing as the market turns and we're making more money and then we're getting more business. I just don't want to spend $13,000 a month on a mortgage payment. Yeah. Even this is what I do for a living, right? I think that it's, for me personally, I think that going and getting something that's more beneficial to us now and giving us the opportunity to invest in some things, but also just get out of town, man.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Dude. Give you the flexibility that you can, with your business too, it sounds like you can be away for a month as long as you're checking in. You know, a lot of the stuff you're doing, it sounds like is virtual anyway with the employees.
Yep.
So, and if you got a, you know, if you're in California for 3 weeks,
fly back.
You'll fly back a couple times, once or twice in that time frame, and you're here for 2 days and you're checking in and then boom, you're not feeling that large, you know, big out of 13 grand. So that freedom and flexibility goes a long way. And I think the generation below us, they, you know, the Gen Zs or the even the millennials, that's been their mantra. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens once they start having families and, you know, do they want the bigger house and not just live like YOLO or whatever. That, you know, so that's a whole nother issue.
That's a dad thing to say.
That's right. Where can we cut that? All right. So, well, as Howard Stern says, you've said it all. You know, we dug in deep today, learned a lot about the history of the company and your experience, and we're really excited. I am to see the growth of what you guys are building. And, you know, when things turn around in the industry itself, you're going to be there to partake in that and then see where this goes. Trusted partners, building on empathy, authenticity, all those things that you bring inside the culture, and then you show to your clients as well. And then you being this connector out in this area, because Phoenix is big, but it's in small. Your world, our world, it's incestual and, you know, building those deep relationships and acting the same way you do with the kids, the same way you do with the employees, to your friends and business associates or potential business associates goes a long way. So testament to you and, you know, your experiences along the way. So we appreciate you coming on board. We're excited to see the Into the Storm podcast getting back up and running again. And so all of the ways that you can find about Ryan, about the podcast, about the company will be in the show notes and below the video on YouTube as well. So again, thanks for joining us today. This has been awesome. And it's good to actually, and for you too, probably is to reverse the roles. Like when I came your show a few years ago, which we'll put on in the show notes as well. It was different. You know, I'm used to like peppering the questions. So for you, I'm sure you haven't been on a lot of podcasts. So it's neat to have it reversed.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because for the amount of podcasts I've done, I haven't been on that many.
Yeah.
And I've never like really sought out the opportunity to do so, I guess. But I know a lot of people do. They kind of work with each other and it's probably smart. We should probably do more of it. But it was nice. I mean, so thank you for having me. And dude, the studio turned out freaking great.
Yeah, love it. Thank you.
Better than ours now, so it sucks. But
hey, we had a huge barter to jump up. But have, you know, Trish come over.
Yeah.
You guys can check it out. And then we can give you any tips, like Lexi can help out. And
well, it's nice to see that the space is like, you can do this much in this small of a space.
Right. It feels a lot bigger now than it was even with that. We had a big table and everything.
Yeah.
And,
we were going to go to some more along this sort of style as well. We were thinking about a couch, but I do like this, like just the two chairs. This is actually really cool. Have you guys, what if a third person came on? Would you ever do, would this, could well, you do would, three
yeah,
people?
I mean, we would have to do if three people came on.
You just have to put,
we have another chair. Yeah. Okay. And then we have like the same size chair, blue chair, but that way I can pepper them questions. And then when we're doing stuff, if I'm doing a solo podcast with the Zoom, then we have a big table that goes here and I'm standing, you know, basically just me. And then we got the nice background there because we do a lot of those with people outside of the Phoenix area.
Right. No, dude, great. So thank you so much, man. It was awesome. And
love having you. Love seeing you. And tune in later this month for a brand new episode of Your Wealth and Beyond. Happy planning, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for today's episode of Your Wealth and Beyond. To get access to all the resources mentioned during today's podcast, please visit Baintree.com/podcast. And be sure to tune in later this month for another episode of Your Wealth and Beyond.
Investment advice is offered through Baintree Wealth Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuity products are offered separately through Baintree Planning Group, LLC. Baintree is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute legal or tax advice. You should talk to a qualified professional before making any decisions about your personal situation.